thank you so much, Sheila. I'm just so blessed to be talking today. And first of all, I just want to thank Scott for that wonderful worship. Waymaker is fantastic for what I'm speaking about today. It's a wonderful thing to hear some music that really sort of touches my soul there. And thank you for all of the people that are shared. I'm just feeling like, wow, I've already been blessed. So whatever happens from here on is going to be just, you know, a bonus, an extra thing. And Sheila said, I'm going to be talking about spirit-filled mission in the face of opposition. And just to begin with, before I go into Acts 13, which is what we've been reading, if anyone's been keeping up with the reading this week, I just want to say that I don't have a formula for sharing a testimony or sharing faith with anybody. I don't have a ABC or a 1, 2, 3. I think basically what you need to do is just be very honest and frank and be yourself. And if you talk with love, it will be received in the right way. And the other thing is mission. It doesn't have to be in some far flung country. You can do mission just right at your doorstep. You can share with friends, family, colleagues, neighbours. So it can be anywhere. And thank God in these times that that is the case. Now, going on to the Bible reading, I've chosen sort of the first story in the book of Acts 13. And this is talking about the beginning of church. It's a very exciting time. So I'll just read from the first verse, Acts 13. Now, in the church of Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, believed to be black, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who also was brought up with Herod of Tetrarch. And let's not mince our words here. There are several Herods in the Bible, I've learnt, and that's a bit confusing. But this Herod is the one that was responsible for ordering John the Baptist to be beheaded. So not a very nice man. And Manion, who's in this first church, was brought up with him. And then we've got Saul, who during the course of this becomes Paul. So I'm going to refer to him as Paul so we don't get any confusion. And as we know, as Saul, he persecuted Christians, and now he's become an evangelist for the nation. So what a wonderful transformation that is. I know I've said this before, but I'm so amazed by it. Anyway, so in this first church, we have a mixture of people from different backgrounds. We've got people from different races and no discrimination whatsoever. So I think we've got a lot to learn from those early churches. And I love the way that although these people are from all kinds of backgrounds, you've got this unity in Christ. And I think that's what we need now. We need unity. So this teaches us something, just this on its own teaches us quite a lot. And so going back to the text, one day as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Paul to do special work that I have called them to. Now appoint or set aside Barnabas and Paul. Now we don't know how the Holy Spirit spoke. It doesn't say. But we do know that there were prophets there and that the Holy Spirit speaks through prophets. But what we do know for sure is that after a lot of fasting and prayer, the men laid hands on Barnabas and Paul and sent them on their way. Now, I love the way, so it's believed that Luke wrote this. I love the way that Luke goes into detail about this first church. He could have actually gone straight over and said, Barnabas and Paul went over to Cyprus to do some mission work. But no, he spoke about the background, the church, the people that were sending him off. And I think this is really important. Since I've been on, you know, had the privilege of going on a mission trip myself, I know how important it is the people that stay behind and pray people into mission. They're there praying protection. praying Holy Spirit paved the way. And that is so important. I felt blessed when I went on mission with Links International a little while ago. And I know we're all saying when all of this is over, but when all of this is over, I do hope to go on another mission trip. Because I think I was perhaps more blessed than the people were in Malawi, to be perfectly honest. Anyway, so going back to the story, Barnabas and Paul sailed to Cyprus and then they arrived at Salamis. They preached the word of God in synagogues first to the Jews and then they went to the Gentiles. So they afterwards travelled from town to town across the entire island. Finally, they reached Paphos, where they met a Jewish sorcerer, a prophet called Bar-Jesus. Now, I know he's got Jesus in his name, but he's nothing to do with the Jesus that we know. And certainly, what is interesting is that it says he's a Jewish sorcerer. Well, it's actually forbidden by law, by Jewish law, to be a sorcerer. So, and it says he was a false prophet, so he's up to all sorts of things. Anyway, he attached himself to this governor, Sergius Paulus. So if I'm mispronouncing anything, please forgive me. And he was an intelligent man, a governor, and he invited Barnabas and Paul to visit with him. He wanted to hear the word of God. Now, this is an amazing example of God opening doors. And I'm sure we've all felt this after prayer, but I just want to share with you a story of when I prayed to be a blessing for somebody and God opened a door for me. It was one morning when I was driving down to the shops. I said, Lord, please let me do something for somebody today. Let me be a blessing. And I went round the shops and I got to the checkout and the lady there, there was something about her. I had never met her before, but I just thought this is a really lovely lady. And I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me, but I didn't know what to say. I started loading up my groceries onto what I can only call as a conveyor belt, but at the moment might be another technical term for it. And I started loading up these groceries and she was popping them through the barcode. And then she spoke to me first. She said, and how are you? And I thought, oh, there's an open door. So I said, I'm fine. And at this time, I was involved with healing rooms that happened on a Saturday at the URC. So I took the opportunity to talk to her about healing rooms. At the time, I was doing prophetic art, which actually now I feel more inclined that I might sort of go back into. And I said, you know, would you like to come and visit healing rooms? Because I said, we pray for people, you know, anything that's going on. Maybe you've got physical pain, you've got something going on in your life that's upsetting and you need healing. Anyway, so she was really interested. She said, that sounds fascinating. But you know what? I can't because I'm working. And I don't know what made me do it. It was Holy Spirit, obviously. I said, can I pray for you now? And what was so interesting about that was that this is a really busy time in this particular shop. I won't say which one it is, but normally you've got queues and queues of people. And I looked behind me and there was not a single person in the queue. So it gave me the opportunity to be able to pray for this lady. And I felt that that was God-led. And she said, yes, yes, I'd like you to pray for me. So I put my hand out. And I started praying. And then I thought, I don't know anything about this woman. I haven't got a clue what to pray. And to be perfectly honest, I thought I was talking a load of gobbledygook. I thought maybe this is the worst prayer that I've ever prayed because I was put on the spot and I just didn't know what to say. So I asked Holy Spirit. And to be honest with you, I can't even tell you what it was I prayed. But I opened my eyes. And I looked at her and tears were flowing down her face and down her cheeks. And she had to get a hanky out to sort of dab the tears away. And I said, you know, that's Holy Spirit. And she just nodded at me and she just said, nobody's ever done that for me before. Nobody's ever actually done that for me before. And I said, well, that's wonderful. But you know that it's God. God has prompted me to do that. And it was just such an amazing experience. And it didn't end with her coming to church, and it didn't end with her giving her life to Jesus or anything like that. But what it did do is it started a conversation. It was the beginning of something, a special friendship. She's now a friend of mine, and I go and see her, and at the shop, I always go and say hi. But after I prayed for her, she shared with me some very personal things. Again, this is in the middle of the supermarket and nobody there. I mean, we must have been there for a good 15 minutes or so chatting. And she shared with me some very, very personal things that I don't think, without what had happened before, she would have shared. But after, and I won't say what they were because they are personal and that's up to her if she wants to share with somebody. But afterwards, I felt like Holy Spirit had really moved and that something special had happened. So I do encourage you in that. Anyway, we'll just go back to the story and in Acts 13. And there's four characters here. There's Barnabas and Paul. There's the sorcerer, and we've got a governor. Okay. And the sorcerer is an advisor to this governor. So I think he feels threatened by Barnabas and Paul. So the sorcerer interfered and urged the governor to pay no attention to Barnabas and Saul. He was trying to keep the governor from believing. So Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, rebukes him. I won't say what he said, but he rebukes him and he says, "The hand of God will blind you for some time." And what happens is the sorcerer gets blinded and he's all feeling around for somebody to help him. Now, it says sometime, I do believe that eventually this sorcerer gets his sight back. But what happens with the governor is that he's so amazed at what's happened, he believes, and he's amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now, there's something here that is interesting to me. Okay, this is not going to, it's highly unlikely that this is going to happen in the high street in Marlow. But it demonstrates something. It demonstrates the power of the Holy Spirit in that place. And it also demonstrates that quite often God will open a door and something comes to obstruct, something comes to block the way. I'm sure, you know, all of you have felt this sometime in your life. And that can come in any guise. And for me, it quite often comes in the form of fear. Fear overtakes me and it makes me too scared to do things. I remember when I first joined the church, I used to sit right at the back of the church crying my heart out because I was just so overcome by the Holy Spirit. As soon as the worship started, there I went. You know, I didn't want anyone to see me. But I finally plucked up the courage to talk to Dave Jones, who was the leader at the time, and also Colin would talk quite often, and I spoke to him. And they both urged me to do a course called the Ignite course. Now, I've got to be honest with you, I didn't know anything about the Ignite course. I hadn't been baptized and I hadn't done any kind of courses or Alpha or anything like that. So I just said, yeah, all right then. I hadn't thought properly about it. Went home and I logged onto the internet. And what is this Ignite course about? Well, it was a course on discipleship and ministry. I can't do that. It's not for me. So I went back. I went back to the people that were organising it, were Di and Jan Vickers, some lovely people. And Colin, I just said, no, do you know what? This isn't for me. I'm not going to do it. And they're like, well, why not? Why? And I couldn't answer why. I just said, well, I just don't want to be in ministry, doing ministry stuff. Anyway, so they urged me to go away and think. And I did. And I asked the Lord, I had a moment where I went for a walk. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, just tell me if it really is that I'm meant to be doing this course. I need to know audibly, yes. And it was like a light had gone on. I don't know how to describe it with you, but it was a light. And then, yes, it was my light bulb moment. Just put it like that, light bulb moment for me. And so I did do that course and I was very blessed indeed. And had I have waited another year, I wouldn't have met the people that I met. I wouldn't have had the opportunities that I had. So because I didn't allow fear to get in the way, I got the most wonderful blessing from that course. So I would urge you that if you are in a position, that you do feel like some things that, you know, you thought that God had opened the doors for you, and now you're feeling like, well, it's not going to happen because X, Y, and Z. Look beyond that. Pray and persevere. Now, I mean, in my experience, and these are the things that I've learned, is that you don't have to reach out as a theologian. You don't have to know the whole Bible inside and out and everything to talk to people about your faith. You just need to draw on your own experiences. Like for me, I'm going to be very honest and frank that I have felt at times when I've had suffered with anxiety and I've suffered with panic attacks and things like that. So I can talk to people from a place where I would understand if they came in and they had problems, I can talk to them honestly. And people that suffer with addiction, you know, when you just don't feel like you're tied into the addiction and you can't see a way out, and the shame and the embarrassment that goes with it, I can talk to people about that. I've been involved in Reiki, in crystal healing, and all kinds of things. And if somebody was to come into the church and needed to talk to somebody about any of that stuff, I can talk to them about that too. And I'm sure there's various things that have happened in your lives. You know, you've either been through trials, pain, grief, whatever it is. Those things help us to then connect with other people and to help them through their life. And the other thing is to be able to talk in a language that people understand. I'd rather talk very simply than go into lots of detail. And I think that helps when people don't understand our faith or could have been Christians. The Christian speak really doesn't help. I can give you an example of a time when I didn't understand. My daughter, she's into a certain type of rap music that's called grime. And the first time I listened to this music, because I love to hear what young people are listening to these days, you know, and I'm quite open to different genres of music. Anyway, the first time I listened to it, she said, "So what do you think?" And after a while, I said, "I haven't got a clue what they're saying. I have not got a clue. I don't know what they're saying. So, you know, I can't tell you whether I like it or not, because I believe that all music has a message, something there behind what the person is singing." And so she explained to me, because this is slang that's going on, and she explained to me what the slang was, and then I could further appreciate the music. I'm not saying I listen to grime every day, but I do appreciate it. The other thing is that when we talk, we need to call on the Holy Spirit to lead us for wisdom. Because there's the times when we talk and there's times when we need to remain silent. And sometimes the times when we need to remain silent are almost more important than the talking, because God gave us two ears and one mouth. So it means that actually listening is a really important part being an evangelist, because then you understand where the other person's coming from. It's no point talking at people. They don't like that. I found that out pretty quickly. So for me, I'm just going to wrap it up now. That's gone really quickly for me. But I'm going to leave you with this this Bible verse from Galatians 5:25. "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit, leading us in every part of our lives." And I encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit to help you, in whatever way it is, in whoever it is that you're talking to, today, tomorrow, next month, whenever it is. I invite you, I encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit in. Because what we have and what we carry is something way too special to keep to ourselves. Thank you.